The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Amen. Are we set this morning for the morning teaching? Can we take our Bible and open to the book of Psalm 90 verse 3? We'll also go into the manual as well. When lesson 101. Amen. You know, God is an everlasting fountain. Doesn't have an end. Now, the topic for us this morning said the forerunner of Jesus. Can we say the forerunner of Jesus? We're all Bible scholar, and I know anytime we say forerunner of Jesus, what comes to our mind? John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we read from our manual? God's will and utmost interest in the last days is to ensure man is safe and rescued from destruction. Hallelujah. Because the intention of the devil and the enemy is to break man down completely. You find out that Adam was created a living soul. After his sin, keep going on and on. By the time you get to chapter 6 of Genesis, man have descended into flesh from living soul. Hallelujah. And it keep going on and on like that. Isaiah 46. It said, all flesh is what? Grass. Man has become what? Grass. Hallelujah. And from flesh, man became what? Dust. Hallelujah. So you find out that the intention of the enemy is to destroy man. But God, in His utmost wisdom, have kept salvation in Himself. Hallelujah. So as to show, because in all the creation of God, let's open to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, okay, verse 19. The Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over us. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye minister of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His work, in all the places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So you can see in that Kedah, O my soul is the least. And this O my soul is whom God hath intended to inherit salvation. Angels were created. They were created so. Angels, the Bible makes us to see the composition of Lucifer. He was made of different precious stone. He can't be upgraded. That's why you can't plant on a stone. The thing will never grow. So, but when you plant on the ground, it do what? It grows. So it's a technology in God to show that God will raise man from dust. Hallelujah. Amen. So the intention of God in the last day for you and me, because sin, scripture says in the book of Romans chapter 15, that and sin reigned from Adam. It passed on death from Adam to Moses, even to all the generations of men. So Satan was able to take man from sin, because it doesn't stop there. Sin is a dominion and is agent of death. When he lure man, he will lure man unto death, from death to what? To grave, and from grave to hell. Hallelujah. But we can see our Lord Jesus Christ, who is made better. hallelujah, than angels. He went to hell as a demonstration and show that no matter where man fell, God will raise him up. Hallelujah. And that is a great consolation. God sent the old prophet to go before the law and sent the greatest man, John the Baptist, ahead of Jesus. Can we open our Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 11? Matthew 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, that hath no risen a greater. The book of Luke says a greater prophet. So John was a great prophet, a prophet from the face of the Lord, than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Hallelujah. So what makes John the Baptist great? Is because he's a prophet that is from the face. He will go before the face of the Lord. He is a prophet of the highest. The book of Luke chapter 1 verse 76 testifies to that. Let's open our Bible. Luke chapter 1 verse 76. And thou child, this is John the Baptist, shall be called a prophet of the highest. Can we say the prophet of the highest? For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. So John the Baptist, who is one of the greatest men, is called the prophet of the highest. God sent him to go before his face. His coming will be a sign for people to know that the Savior and his salvation were ready around the corner, which is why he is called the forerunner. There is no other prophet or person sent on the earth that God gave as a what? Forerunner. So what made John the Baptist a prophet of the highest or the greatest among born out of women is because of the assignment committed to him. Even in that book of Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3, let's see something there. It has been spoken by the prophet, the voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Hallelujah. So John the Baptist did no miracle, and yet he is called the prophet of the highest or the greatest among those that are born of what? Women. Today, the show that people have is what they use Holy Ghost to do. Miracles, signs, and wonder. So if people want to compare today, when apostle of the gospel stand and miracle worker stands, and they want to compare, if they want to make their evaluation, they will say the one that works miracle is a great prophet. Hallelujah. But God's evaluation is different. It's different from how we see. That's why we need to keep praying that God must enlighten us all the time. Because what is greatness in the sight of God is different from what man counts as greatness. To be great in the sight of God is to have so great salvation. So, and that great salvation is what John the Baptist was sent to prepare. Hallelujah. Can we look at the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3? Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3. Can we read together? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that what? Heard him. So this great salvation is what is proud to God's heart. And that was why he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for that what? Great salvation to come. God sent Moses to Egypt to save his people, he was to go and speak to Pharaoh to let his people go. When Moses got there, he met Aaron and the rest of the Israelites who were supposed to be his mouthpiece. Hallelujah. So there are different levels of salvation across the scripture. And that's why salvation is not salvation, as faith is not faith. Now, when God liberated the Israelites from the hands of Pharaoh, from the house of bondage, it is called salvation or deliverance of a kind. Let's look at the book of Exodus 14, verse 29. But the children of Israel walk upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel. So what the Lord did here is deliverance. It's also what? Salvation of a kind. That day, out of the hands of the Egyptian, and Israel saw the Egyptian dead upon the seashore. Hallelujah. So, there's a salvation that God used Moses to wrought for the Israelites. But that salvation is their deliverance from the house of what? Bondage. He met Aaron and the rest of the Israelites who were supposed to be his mouthpiece. But for Jesus, a whole prophet of the highest was sent to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the way of his people so that all men might be saved, including us. Hallelujah. So for Moses, God raised Aaron and all the men to help in that assignment. But for our Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist was raised, a whole prophet of the highest, to prepare him for this world, for this salvation. Let's look at the book of Luke chapter 3, verse 4. Because I first spoke of this salvation, as it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path what? Straight. So John the Baptist was raised for this purpose. He was raised for this purpose. God intends that we will be saved, and all men. Can we look at the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4? The intention of God is that all men will be saved. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who we have what? All men. All men, they're inclusive. The Greek and the Gentile and the barbarian. Those are the classes of men on earth. All men. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who we will that all men be saved, and to do what? And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth is called salvation. Salvation is a content that all men must be exposed to. Many are born again in church today. They are seemingly doing well. They are functional members, executives in fellowship, and all that. And they keep running those activities day in, day out. But the fact that a soul is running that, it doesn't mean he has come into the world knowledge of salvation or knowledge of truth. So a soul needs to be where he is to be taught the knowledge of truth. Because the issue of God with man is not man, but sin in man. If there's any mechanism God can use to extract sin from man, God will have done that. That's why when A nation keeps sinning and their sin gets to a peak. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, God has to rain down brimstone upon them. God cannot help them. If it's possible, God will have extracted sin and leave them. So the issue of God with man is sin. And what can deal with sin is the knowledge of salvation. Can we say knowledge of salvation? Or knowledge of truth. So the intention of God for every man is to come into the knowledge of truth. Can we look at the book of Titus chapter 2 verse 11? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Doing what? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So that grace is teaching. And that teaching, what grace teaches, is not hyper grace teaching. Once saved, forever saved. No. There is a grace called the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that teaches soul how he or she will deny ungodliness and worldly lust. So it means that if you are a soul and you are not exposed to the teaching of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot deny ungodliness. You cannot deny worldly lust. In fact, the end of that person will be worse than the beginning. That's what the scripture says. And that's why we must not play with teaching. The teaching of grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is to deliver the soul from sin, because sin has always been the issue of man. Sin is a dominion. When they say a thing reign, it means it's a dominion. He has grip and power. And the only thing that can break man free from the dominion of sin is the teaching of grace. Hallelujah. God intends that all men will be saved, irrespective of their religious background or place of birth. As worst as Boko Haram are today, they are still in the predeterminate counsel of the Lord to be saved. And that's why we must not write off any man. Because the salvation of God is for all men, regardless of our religion, our background, our society or environment, exposures, even status. God wished that all men should be saved. So he gave this validation and he sent John in the spirit and power of Elijah to go before his face. So he came into all the country around Jordan, preaching the baptism of what? Repentance for the what? Remission of sin. As we have learned, the unbeliever doesn't have templates of repentance from sin. It is the Jew that have it. Why? They were given the law. They all to align with the law, obey the law, the status and commandments of God. So if Christ appear in the scene, they will be able to align with him and go further. But sin take occasion of the law. Hallelujah. So, while John came on the scene, he preached baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, so that the sin of the Jew might be what? Remitted. And that will create a template for them to accept Christ, to accept Jesus. That was the whole assignment John the Baptist was given. And that's why you see, John the Baptist was a great teacher. Many times when we think about John the Baptist, the only thing we think about him is water of Jordan. John was a great teacher. We later knew in the book of Acts that one of his disciples is Apollos. A man that is what? Mighty in scriptures and in words. That's product of John the Baptist. He was not just a prophet that foresee but he's a mighty teacher. Because the soul of the Israelite is, the Bible called them stiff-necked people. They are very stubborn. So for many of them to come to the water of John and repent, including soldiers, those terrible soldiers under the Roman government then, very corrupt. Many of them came to the water of John. Their heart was convicted. It means John the Baptist will have taught them. Hallelujah. So that is his assignment. He taught the Jew for remission of sin so that sin might be remitted. He came fulfilling the intention of God that was spoken through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, which we have read before. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Can we read it again? So as to refresh our mind on it. Can we read together? The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a high place for our God. Hallelujah. Can we now look at the book of Luke chapter 3, verse 4 to 6? As it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path what? Straight. This is God's utmost interest. This thing must be made known so that we may know how much God has invested to help man. For this purpose, God has to raise the prophet. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Let's see. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the Father by the word, by the prophet. God have to raise the prophet to keep speaking of this salvation. Isaiah was known to be the messianic prophet. Go and study Isaiah. It's about the Messiah. It's about the Lord and his coming. So, why did God have to go all the way to do this? Because he loves man. He wants man to be saved. And the same thing he's doing in our day. He did not want any man to miss salvation. So, he provided what could be of utmost help. A whole man. God have to raise a whole man to prepare the way. Do you know the dealing John the Baptist went through, even his mother, both Zachariah and Elizabeth? God have to delay. He have to delay them from childhood bearing till they were stricken in age. Because there is nature of sin and a kind of trait that still need to be purified because of the level of the assignment that boy is to carry. God have to delay that womb from bearing to purify the loins of the father. Hallelujah. He did that for the sake of man. So it's a great investment. He did not want any man to miss salvation, so he provided what could be utmost help. A old man, John himself, said he was not the Messiah, but he had come before him. So when they came to him to ask, are you the Messiah? He said, no. I am just the voice of him that cried in the world, in the wilderness. That's a height of humility. John the Baptist could have accrued things to himself. Because the man on the show now, every Israelite went to his waters to be baptized. Just as what is going on in the mainstream church today, there are men, self-acclaimed prophets, self-acclaimed apostles, self-acclaimed preachers, and who doesn't have the what? The water of salvation or the word of salvation to offer. So you can always detect them by the content of their message. John the Baptist have a message. And the summary of that message is, I am a voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So he did not accrue anything to himself. He said that I may what? Decrease. So that he might what? Increase. So in this season, the emphasis is meekness. To come to meekness, you must have been trained to be humble. You must have been trained to come into humbleness. So, humility is a training for meekness. You cannot attain even the nature of meekness without what? Humility, being low. We can see the traits here in John the Baptist. In spite of the fact, the height of assignment that was on him, he deferred. He did it according to details, according to prescription. And that's what humility is. Humility is not timidity or shyness, but doing what you ought to do according to details and precision. Because most time, some of us, we may have that tendency to hide. And it's an excuse. It doesn't mean that you are humble. So Daddy was saying that the essence of Christ is to embolden a believer for any level of assignment committed to him or her. Hallelujah. And we can see that trait here in John the Baptist. Luke chapter 3 verse 16. John answered saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall do what? Baptize you with what? Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and we gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Hallelujah. So that is the assignment of our Lord Jesus Christ. His fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Many of us, we know, okay, the common thing here is rice. Sometimes when you want to remove particle from rice, you need to put it on a tray. If the particle is so much, then you try to throw it up so that breeze, we carry away the what? The chaff of the rice. So chaff there represents flesh. Whose one is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather the wheat into his what? His garner. So what can separate flesh is what? Spirit. Because wheat there is the reality, is the tangibility, is the product of your soul. So at the end of the day, what God wants to reap is your soul and my soul. Into his garner. That garner is called storehouse. But the chaff, it will do what? It will burn. It's useless. With what? Fire unquenchable. That is the job of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was why, while he was going away, he told the disciple, John chapter 16, verse 8. And when he is come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and what? Of judgment. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit of the living God. So his assignment is to reprove sin, to judge the world of what? Of sin. And to separate your soul and my soul from flesh and from what? From sin. That's why, as believer, you cannot bargain it. You need the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer and you don't have the Holy Spirit, you will remain in flesh big time. And you will serve flesh all your day. So you need the Holy Spirit, because many things will not be judged in you and I without the Holy Ghost. the basis or the elementary is you receiving it and speaking in tongues. But much more, Holy Spirit have assignments to reprove the word of sin. When they say sin, sin is a word. You are carrying it, I'm carrying it. It's inside us. So this our soul is a word. That's why the scripture say, what shall it profit a man after he has gained the whole world and loses his soul? So the soul of man is comparison to the whole world. Do you know how big the whole world is? That's what is inside. But there's one that is sent to deal with the world inside us. The world of sin. That is the Holy Spirit. So more than using the Holy Spirit to pray, to speak in tongues, you need the Holy Spirit to deal with nature of sin, to reprove sin. Hallelujah. John chapter 3 verse 30. Before we go to that scripture, I want to welcome contribution. Do we have any contribution else? Okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. This matter seems a block of knowledge that we all must take a little bit of what some we say, seller. So we sit back, internalize this knowledge, and let it mix with your own thoughts and come to a resolution. Because you see, this matter that is being discussed, until we all, not just as Eternal Life Embassy members, as believers, understand this part. When I say this part, in the sense of part as a course, we discover that our faith will always meet a brick wall. Our journey will always get to a point where you get tired, you get weary. It looks like milk of the world, right? But this milk is congealed. And this is the milk that should birth the desire for meat. Inability to see that sin is the problem, and that the essence of our coming to Jesus is to deal with sin. Sin will always morph and tell you that it's not as sinful as it looks. I don't know if you are following me. Daddy said some time ago that once believers have stopped committing sin of fornication, lying, adultery, then it looks as if we are okay. But if righteousness is not reigning, sin is not being dealt with. Sin has a form of righteousness. Do we know that? And for those of us who are born in church, we don't go to party. We don't do seemingly bad things. If we are not careful, the understanding of Christ will not bring light to that part of our life. We'll feel okay. But what I want to stand up to say is that the manual is with us. All these manuals, they are what? They are with us. Let's go back. Let's go through them. Let's see ourselves in the picture. Let's see dividing lines between precept and precept. And then how does precept now form line? You know, you can determine how much of precept on a matter you have understood and how much you are handling. Until you begin to lay it like that, we'll discover that won't pace up very well. But what I stood up to say is that this matter is with us, and we should take a bold step to look into it. As it being said, a bit of understanding is coming, a bit of light is coming, but you may discover that it's not yet your own. It's not yet something you can use when pastor is not there. You can't bring out righteous requirement out of a teaching. Then that teaching is not yet a light. So I want to encourage us. Let's take, pastor said we are 101. Can imagine? One lesson, 101. If they mark us, how much will we have? How many percent will we have? And daddy has told us that our marking is done by the Holy Ghost. Let's use these words. Let them not just remain as manual. Let them become a life. even if this only what we know in the church in Nigeria, Islamism will not be putting our back down like this. No, it will not be. And the Lord will strengthen us. The Lord will help us to see more than the evident, to see what matters to God begin to matter to us. When John the Baptist was saying he's the prophet of the highest in John the Baptist is that he broke into eternal will. That is the highest in him. That is what separates him. And until we break into that will, we are not yet living. And in this season, it's for us to do so. It's for us to become that which God has stated in his heart that we'll become. And we'll become it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much, ma. So, as we have been encouraged by our pastors, let's stay with this matter. Let's look into it in-depthly. The Lord will help our hearts in Jesus' name. The book of John, chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Hallelujah. So you can see the statement of John the Baptist here. He recognized his assignment. And the assignment of Christ is also clear to him. So that's why while we are learning eternal life, we come to church, we hear different words like inheritance, everlasting life, eternal life, immortality, all those things, we must get it clear. You must stay with it and derive doctrine from it and derive understanding. If not, it can't be our own. It's a promise. And if you are not seeing yourself in it, to make it your own, it may never come to pass. So we have that duty in this season. So John the Baptist can understand his assignment and the boundaries around his assignment. Eternal life is not just borderless. It has boundaries. And that's why you find out that in the church today, many are just shooting anyhow. They don't understand the boundary. And that's what doctrine does. Doctrine creates boundaries. It creates boundaries. Our daddy, Reverend Kayode Oyokoke, said, in every assignment that God gave to any man, there's a commandment in the journey. But he may not likely see if he didn't quest to know the commandments. So every word we heard have a commandment. And that's what we must look into. That's what we must look into. In every word, there's commandment. The commandment is a manual of instruction or usage of the word you heard. So John revealed that it was to be a light that shone as a shining and a burning light for what? A moment. It was to shine for a moment and pass away. And it was to shine for a moment and do what? Pass away. Then the great light come and shine through life. So imagine John the Baptist did not leave the scene. Imagine he stayed on the scene. So many times, we block our salvation when we are on a spot. God expected us to have made progress by aligning our heart with teaching, with doctrine. We are like in the past tense of God. And one preacher said that any instrument that God uses and dump is actually what Satan uses. He doesn't have his own. So our saving place is always in his presence, in his sight. We should live every day. And being in sight is obeying commandments every time. So we need to understand this matter. The great light will shine through eternity so that all men may have what? access and sight to see what God provided for their world, salvation. That's why we must not stop praying for sight. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, that should be our utmost prayer every now and then, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the word spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. That the height of your word, understanding, be what? Enlightened. That he may what? Know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the what? In the saint. This should be our prayer all the time. Because without sight, you can't journey. Without sight, you can't come into the inheritance of life. So, the great light will shine. He is still shining through his word, through his message, through his thoughts. God is light. In him, there is what? No darkness at all. So, we move from light to light. And this great light will shine through eternity to all men, so that we can have access and sight to see what God has provided. In fact, salvation is light. That's why the psalmist said, the Lord is my light and salvation. So each time light shine, the back end is what? Salvation. So until salvation is accomplished, you can't say you've gotten light. If you have not acquired salvation, it means light have not reached you. There is salvation in Jesus. Can we say amen? It does not matter what men have said. So there are many schools of thoughts, many philosophy, many ideology. Even Yoruba have its own. Akin, Mori, Korimaji. Meaning you can't be perfect. That's anti-salvation. You can't agree with that philosophy. We can be perfected. We can be made what? Perfect. Because we even have examples amidst us. People that God has raised. Our Father in the Lord, our mother, our mama, they are there. Because that didn't make us to see that even perfection ultimately is not sinlessness. It's also in measures. Hallelujah. Just like there's perfection in Christ, there's also perfection in everlasting life. So, we keep on receiving the word of salvation so as to come into what? Perfection. So, many people believe today that they cannot be perfected. What they are doing or what is going on in the world and in the church today may some people to validate that salvation is not true. But it's a lie. It's a lie of the enemy. The gay world, if light reaches there today, God will harvest his own from there. Yes, because that is the essence of the so great salvation, is to deliver man from destruction. So those who are towing the path of second death and destruction, when great light shine on them, they can be what? They can be saved. They can be redeemed. So we must not at any time give up on ourselves or agree with the devil that we cannot what? We cannot be perfected or we cannot be saved. This thing make one feel there is no salvation anywhere. Actually, there is no salvation anywhere. Salvation is only in God. Hallelujah. That's why the scripture said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and he is saved. His name is his nature. As it's being revealed, and you are aligning and you are agreeing, you are being safe. That's why salvation is at the end. Peter said, you're receiving the end of your what? Of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So we keep journeying from one level of salvation to another level of what? Salvation. But God has provided salvation in his Son. He did not give any other means to be saved. There's no any other name under heaven for man to be saved, except the name of what? Jesus Christ. And whosoever deny that name, deny salvation. They cannot come into what? Salvation. So we must believe in the name. Believe in the name of Jesus is not just confession. It's a position of the heart that align with what has been wrought in the Son. And as it be open to see that also, because the scripture says Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. There's something Jesus author, faith for salvation. So as it's been opened up, we must see salvation is in Jesus Christ. So that pathway has been opened to us for us to walk in. He gave his salvation through his Son Jesus Christ. And that is whom we are going to believe in the last days. Because there are many paths in the last days. Hell will open his mouth. He will pour out his vomit as ideology, as philosophies, as teachings. But our eyes must be on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Son of God. That is where salvation is. We must believe in him. We have got to believe him. Our faith must be in Jesus Christ. We cannot just be in church alone. That is not enough. What do come to seek in church? What seeketh thou? Hallelujah. So why we come to church? Why we gather like this? What are you seeking? Is it Christ? Is it salvation that is in him? That will make you to condition your heart in service. So when ministration is going on, that will make you to condition your heart because you are looking for something. Because it is those who seek God that God will open himself to. So we must be a diligent seeker. We must be a diligent seeker. So it's not enough to be in church, but we must seek salvation because God has kept salvation in the church. Christ is the head of the church. So salvation is in Christ. And salvation is being preached every now and then to us. We must align with it. We must function because it is our connection to the Son of God that can save us from death. This is the testimony of John the Baptist. He began to speak several other things to the people, preparing their mind for what? Repentance. For them to change their lifestyle so that they could be part of what God was about to do on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. So, in our own generation also, this word of salvation is being spoken. God has raised his prophet in our day. He has raised his apostles. And they keep speaking. And they keep speaking. They bear this testimony. They keep expounding this testimony. So our disposition must be to align, to open our hearts to every word that is coming so as for our lifestyle to change. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. We will be raised in this season. We will align with the program of salvation in the name of Jesus. Can we start praying this morning? Can we ask of the Father that our heart is open?
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.